Hello and a warm welcome to the debate on Press TV. I'm your host, Behrouz Najafi. Yemeni's Saturday drone attack on Aramco oil facilities in the heartland of the Saudi oil industry has pushed crude oil prices to their highest level in 6 months. In reaction, Donald Trump said that the U.S. is, quote, locked and loaded and ready to respond to the attack that his Secretary of State has blamed Iran for. The Yemeni forces have threatened with more attacks on Saudi oil facilities. Iran has rejected the U.S. allegation as totally unfounded. Tehran argues the attack on Aramco was a natural response by the Yemenis to the crimes committed in their country by the Saudi-led coalition. This is not the first time that Washington has blamed Tehran for such incidents in this region. What's the Trump administration attempting to do by this blame game? We'll discuss the issue after a report. Do stay with us.
Saturday's drone attacks on Saudi Aramco's oil facilities have cut the kingdom's oil production by nearly 50%. Riyadh said it has shut down its crude oil pipelines to Bahrain as the damage required a long recovery. The attacks also skyrocketed oil prices and led to a sharp fall in most major global stock markets. The attacks have drawn various international reactions as well. While the European Union, China, and Russia have called for maximum restraint, the U.S. was quick to use the incident as a fresh opportunity to demonize Iran. While Yemen's Ansarullah movement has claimed responsibility for the attack, the U.S. Secretary of State accused Iran of being behind the strike. Mike Pompeo, however, failed to present any evidence for his allegation. Iran has denied any involvement in the attacks on Saudi oil fields. Tehran says Aramco attacks are the result of the war waged by Saudi-led coalition in Yemen.
Saudi attacks were the result of this five-year war against defenseless people of Yemen, which is the root of the region's insecurity.
Saudi Arabia and its allies claim Houthis' armed drones are not capable of flying over 1,000 kilometers from Yemen's northwest across Saudi Arabia to reach Aramco oil facilities. But the Houthis have managed to hit even farther targets inside Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates. On July 25, 2018, Houthi fighters attacked the Saudi oil tanker in the Red Sea. On August 9, 2018, Houthis targeted the border provinces of Jizan and Asir in Saudi Arabia. On May 14, 2019, Saudi Arabia said armed drones struck two oil pumping stations west of Riyadh. On July 26, 2018, Ansarullah movement targeted Abu Dhabi International Airport. On June 12, 2019, Yemeni forces targeted Abha Airport in southern Saudi Arabia. On August 5, 2019, Houthi fighters launched drone attacks on Saudi Arabia's King Khalid Air Base. On August 17, 2019, a drone attack sparked fire in an oil and gas field in eastern Saudi Arabia. On May 14, 2019, Riyadh confirmed Yemeni drones hit a pipeline stretching from the oil-rich eastern province to the Red Sea. On September 14, 2019, drone attacks caused fires at two major oil facilities run by Saudi Aramco. Washington's attempt to prove that Iran is threatening peace in the Middle East is not unprecedented. In 2017, former U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations Nikki Haley presented what she called undeniable evidence that Iran was supplying missiles to Yemen's Ansarullah movement. U.S. accusations, however, failed to gain any support from the international community as the Saudi-led all-out blockade on Yemen allows nothing to be transported to the war-ravaged country. Saudi Arabia and its allies began their devastating war against Yemen in 2015. The war has so far killed nearly 16,000 Yemenis, mostly civilians, and displaced thousands of others. However, not only has the U.S. and its European allies failed to condemn the aggression, but they continue to sell arms to Riyadh and its allies, a move that, according to the United Nations, makes them complicit in Saudi war crimes in Yemen.
Now let's discuss the issue. Joining me will be political analyst Charles Orter from New York, and journalist and political analyst Saeed Mohsen Abbas is joining us out of London. Good to have both of you, gentlemen. Let's go to New York to Charles. Tehran has dismissed involvement in the Aramco attack and argues that this is the Yemenis' natural response to the bloody and ruinous Saudi-led war on their country. Do you share the same viewpoint?
Iran's viewpoint? Absolutely not. I think that what we see here in the most recent period, notwithstanding suggestions by many people, including me, that the best route forward with regard to this conflict is serious, confidential talks to go through the root causes of the issues and try to forge a peace proposal here, a lasting peace proposal, not simply for relations with Iran and United States, but throughout the Middle East. What we've witnessed in the last week, 10 days, is a series of escalating events tied to Iran, which certainly look ominous to me. And, you know, of course the government of Iran is going to deny any involvement in this, but who stands to gain the most from it? And please explain to me the series of challenges in the Straits of Hormuz, the now seizing of another tanker. We see a daily escalation in aggressive movements by actors tied to Iran or financed by Iran or supported by Iran. And frankly, I don't take the Iranian government at its word right now. And I think the Iranian government is playing with hellfire.
All right, let's go to London and ask Sayed Mohsen Abbas for his view.
Well, let's talk about root causes. The first root cause that I'd like to maybe put across to our audience, it kind of gone off the radar, that the United States of America penned a $350 billion deal, arms deal, with Saudi Arabia in 2017, $110 billion of it, which was payable immediately. Of course, Saudi Arabia has taken that as a license to continue bombing civilians, the infrastructure of Yemen, and basically try to return it to the medieval times. So let's talk about root causes. What has the US done in terms of trying to de-escalate the war in Yemen? I'll tell you what, nothing.
They've done nothing.
They've in fact exacerbated the problem and made it infinitely worse, because that's what they want. They want the war there. They want the Saudis to actually destroy Yemen and have no concern for the democratic rights of the Yemeni people, for instance.
Mm-hmm. Now, Charles, President Trump has hinted at a potential American military response. Is he serious about that?
I think the president has said, and I obviously don't speak for the president of the United States, but the president has said at all times that he
seriously?
And the United States reserve all courses of action, all options are on the table. As a practical matter, the United States cannot lawfully declare war or start a war in a new theater without going to Congress. So I don't think what he's thinking about is a massive World War II-style response to Pearl Harbor. But I do think the president has all his cards on the table. I think there are clear signs that elements in the Persian Gulf, the Iranian Navy and the Iranian allied naval forces, certainly are not doing their level best to ensure that oil moves freely through the Straits of Hormuz, and indeed are threatening quite the opposite. And that's something that should concern not simply the United States. We're naturally now a net exporter of oil, not relying on Middle Eastern oil. It should concern, however, Europe, specifically Germany, Italy, France, countries that are heavily dependent on Middle Eastern oil, should be very concerned about the lack of free movement of energy products through the Straits of Hormuz. That's a serious strategic issue. And if Iran is threatened to pinch that off, as they appear to be doing, again, I reiterate what I said before, Iran is playing with hellfire.
Well, Charles, Iran says that it won't allow the free and passage of oil from the Strait of Hormuz if its oil faces the same problem. Otherwise, Iran is committed to providing security, and it's also been in talks with regional states, and they're also ready to cooperate. Now, let's go back to the main topic, Sayed Mohsen Abbas. U.S. media says that satellite photos show the attack came from the direction of Iran or Iraq rather than from Yemen. Then Iraq has denied its land was used for the attack. Iran is saying the allegations are absolutely baseless. Yemeni armed forces say that they have conducted the drone attack. And why is it hard for Washington to believe the Yemenis' claim of responsibility? It's not the first time. They've already launched several attacks, both against Saudi Arabia and the UAE.
Well, it's hard for them to believe it because they are in delusional denial. They still feel that they are the boss in the Middle East, but things have moved on. I mean, if you look at the situation in Lebanon, in Syria, if you look at Iraq, stretch it down to Yemen, they've lost in virtually every one of these theaters of war, which actually they were the ones who were initiating through mercenary interventions, whether it was ISIS, Al-Qaeda, or in Yemen. In all of these instances, they've been the ones trying to, if you like, fueled the conflict in order to assert their erstwhile dominance and control of the Middle East. But what they need to really wake up to is that actually much of the Middle East, the resistance axis for sure, has woken up to the fact that American colonialism, imperialism, basically backdoor colonialism, it needs to come to an end. And they need to recognize that there are new kids on the block, and they need to take that seriously rather than enter into a conflict on behalf of primarily Israel, let's face it, or primarily the money lenders who've tied the dollar to petrol. They should actually think again and think in terms of a more conciliatory economic policy. I mean, what do they expect Iran to do? You've got military bases of the US lined up all around Iran, surrounding them, dozens and dozens of them. You have aggravated the Iranians in terms of sending warships into the zone. You're constantly, exactly, if you like, acting as a proxy for Israel in terms of incursions into sort of Iranian interests. And you've exacted an economic war, which is actually diabolical. I mean, Iran is being subjected to the most awful economic sanctions, all perpetrated on behest of Israel by the US. So what on earth do they expect Iran to do? The Iranians created a defensive policy, and they're defending their own rights in their own waters, in their own territory. The Yemenis have the capability to reach anywhere with their ballistic missiles and with their drones. That's just a reality that the Saudis never expected, and the US now has to take seriously and contend with, and that you can't win a Yemeni war through military action. They need to get that.
Mm-hmm. Now, Charles, the root cause of the recent escalation between Saudi Arabia and Yemen is the 4.5 years war that Riyadh and its allies have waged against Yemen. Why is the U.S. not urging Saudi Arabia to put an end to its aggression against Yemen?
I think the U.S. sees this in a wider, on a wider basis. We look at the period under Trump differently than the President Obama team did, who was so interested in rejecting the monarchies to cozy up to Iran. There has been a change under Donald Trump. Maybe it'll be changed again following the November 2020 election. But if I had to bet right now, I'd be betting on President Trump through 2024. And what you see here is a long pattern of history. Yes, relations with the United States and Iran have been horrible for decades. And just speaking as one Christian American, I'd like to see relationships patched up. For my entire adult life, we have had hostilities with Iran, which come rest on a framework of bad relations going back before the time I was even born. So, you know, some problems cannot be solved, but to suggest that Iran has no influence supporting these hostile movements around the Middle East, in Lebanon, in Iraq, in Yemen, in other places, is just, you know, beggars belief that you'd even try that. To suggest that the United States does anything at the behest of Israel, our economy dwarfs Israel by factors, major league factors. We're the largest unified market on earth. We have the largest fighting force on earth. The United States is a sovereign country that looks, or tries and should try, to look after its own interests. So I hope, notwithstanding my suggestions over the last several weeks and months, I sincerely hope the present government of Iran is listening to people who suggest that peace talks make sense, and not simply peace talks involving the U.S. and Iran. We're never going to have a wider Middle East peace unless we consider all the parameters across the Middle East and all the actors. And that's what I believe President Trump and Jared Kushner and other people are trying to push forward. These recent provocations make it more likely, in my opinion, that the present government of Iran will be viewed as one that cannot be trusted, and therefore will put that government in an increasingly weaker position, not stronger.
Mm-hmm. All right, said Mohsen Abbas. Iranian Foreign Minister Zarif argues that not a Washington's policy in the Middle East, the region, have failed. It's turned from the so-called maximum pressure campaign against Iran to maximum deceit, in his words. Is this an appropriate strategy the White House has adopted?
I disagree with Javad Zarif. The Americans have always exercised a maximum deceit policy across the Middle East. That's never been changed. It's just now a much more laughable deceit, to be honest, because everybody can see clearly what's going on, and yet they still decide to lie out of their teeth. Let's look at the US policy in the Middle East just briefly, if we're going to do the whole rounds. In Lebanon, they backed Israel's war on a sovereign nation in Lebanon. It was only Hezbollah who managed to give the Israelis a bloody nose, and the Israelis haven't gone back after two efforts. Okay, let's move to Syria. In Syria, the actual so-called civil unrest and civil war was perpetrated by Western intelligence forces, including Israel, and was maintained. The war was maintained through their finance, their proxy finance, through Saudi and UAE funding, into ISIS, Al-Qaeda, the very people that supposedly America is meant to be fighting a war on terror. So a strange scenario that in Syria they went in and actually caused conflict and said, well, what peace and what harmony were they bringing about in Syria? Let's move on to Iraq. Twice they've gone in and absolutely annihilated and destroyed that nation, and they're still not happy. They still want to continue causing conflict. The latest effort was again, of course, ISIS invading the whole country, and that was thwarted. Guess who? Who by? The Iranian-backed Hush forces and others. So time and time again, America is finding itself on the side of Al-Qaeda and ISIS, yet is saying it's fighting a war on terror. And yet time and time again, it's the Iranians who are backing the forces which are pushing back the so-called terrorists that the Americans are fighting. I mean, in Yemen, the exact same case is there. The Saudis are the ones who've been backing terrorism across the Middle East. It's on record. It's their proxies, their funders, their private funders who are doing all of that funneling. It's American weapons going via Saudi Arabia and the UAE and Qatar that have been financing that terrorism. And yet the Americans have the gall to say it's the Iranians who are causing the problem yep. in the Middle East. What mm-hmm. nonsense.
Exactly. I just asked that question. I put that question to Charles. He didn't reply to that question. Charles, what do you want to say regarding this?
Sorry, can you rephrase your question?
Question was, why the U.S. Refrains from asking Saudi Arabia to stop its war on Yemen? So it looks like that it prefers material gains by selling its weapons used against poor civilians in Yemen.
So in the situation in Yemen, I think your announcer recited a long list of actions that had occurred where weapons had landed inside Saudi Arabia. There have been provocations coming out of Yemen into Saudi Arabia that predate the present conflict. There's every suggestion that rebel forces, the Houthis specifically, are backed in part by the Iranians. So, I mean, we have a long-standing pattern in practice throughout the Middle East of supposed resistance groups acting to topple governments, whether financed by the United States or financed by foreign parties. And we've never gotten serious about as the larger nations, the bigger economically developed nations, we've never put a responsible, lasting peace proposal on the table. All the tit for tat discussions we're having,
Iran has proposed
the people of Yemen and the people of Lebanon and the people of these countries you're talking about, Syria, decades behind economically where they should be.
Only two, 3 weeks.
In a place where they can't raise families, where they're flooding across Europe now as refugees. The present situation involving both parties. It's kind of like with my kids. When they would fight and fight and fight, you take them aside and say, I don't actually care at this point why you're fighting. All I know is nobody's better off. And that's where we are now in the Middle East. You can talk to me about 1978, 1968, 1958. In 2019, you have an American president with the power, who is not hostage to Middle Eastern oil any longer, to craft a lasting peace. And Iran doesn't seem to want to do that, judging by the recent actions in the last week.
Said Mohsen Abbas, you're ready to make a reaction, I know. Go ahead.
Well, again, it's the delusional state that the American public is kept in by all this weird false news. I don't know which planet most of the American commentators I have debates with are living on, because the facts on the ground tell you very clearly. Even in Yemen, the Israelis are on the ground with their own intelligence forces. There's countless numbers of private agencies which are documented, which are actually training mercenaries to come into Yemen and to perpetrate war crimes of an unspeakable nature. Tens of thousands of Yemenis civilians have been targeted and killed by these mercenaries and a combination of the Saudi Air Force. Now, the Saudi Air Force is backed up by the intelligence and the military hardware and the know-how and the repair teams of the Americans. Now, which bit of taking responsibility for the murder and maiming of ordinary Yemeni civilians do the Americans not understand? They've also paid $350 billion, what would be being paid $350 billion one way or another on the table by Saudis to continue perpetrating that murder and that killing. So, of course, the moral relativism of Americans is this, that actually doesn't matter how many Yemenis you kill, doesn't matter about democracy and the demand for the liberation of the Yemeni people by themselves. It's all about money. It's all about Raytheon. It's about Boeing. It's about American companies getting contracts. And that's what Donald Trump is about. You know, you've got a famine going on because the allies of the Americans, the proxies of the Americans in Yemen, have decided to blockade the naval ports. They've decided to bomb the infrastructure where sanitation and water isn't even available that is healthy for the Yemeni people. Cholera outbreaks are happening on a biblical scale. Because the U.S. and its partners do not want to face the reality that they are backing Saudi Arabia to do their dirty work in yet another country in the Middle East.
Right. Okay, Charles, the Trump administration has a history of blaming Iran for such incidents. An example is the mysterious tanker explosion at the Fujairah port months ago. The UAE, the Abu Dhabi airport, also came under Yemeni's attack a while ago, for which Ansarullah forces claimed responsibility, but again, Tehran was blamed. And also in December 2017, we had Nikki Haley. We also had in our report raised allegations Tehran was providing Yemenis with missiles, showing parts of a missile. UN investigation showed parts of it were U.S. made. So what's the purpose of this propaganda warfare? We have 30, 40 seconds only.
First, I believe our U.S. intelligence over the U.N. any day of the week. I would guess that in coming days, one of the responses the United States is going to make here is to begin revealing who within the U.N. and Europe may have been receiving payments from Iran to encourage the Iran non-deal to come together and to support Iran through this recent process. Iran is pushing extremely hard, and it's gone to a place it'll be very difficult to return from. I'm not happy about it. I wish we were going in a different place, but I think this is about to go to another, even more dangerous level.
All right, Sayed Mohsen Abbas, you also have 30 seconds.
Iran is not scared of a war against it. It's fully prepared. It has its defense mechanisms ready. The Americans are actually not sure about an outright victory against Iran. That's the only reason they haven't waded in. And they're very right to be fearful, because the body bags and the economic consequences of a war with Iran will affect the entire globe, not just America. America needs to recognize it is no longer the policeman in the Middle East. It needs to live within its means, and it needs to get out of the Middle East in terms of its immoral policies there and stop killing people just for its own financial gains.
Okay, let me thank our panelists in this program. We had political analyst Charles Orther from New York and journalist and political analyst Sayed Mohsen Abbas from London. Thank you for watching this program. We'll see you next time.